Well, welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankham.
And we're so honored to have with us today Kirby Hayborn, author, actor, narrator, probably some other titles I haven't said in there. Kirby, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I have to say, my kids, as soon as they found out that I got to meet you, and their favorite movie is The Best 2 Years. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Kirby, and maybe you tell us what your favorite role that you've done, whether it be a movie or a commercial or a book or narration.
First off, Best 2 Years is hands down one of the best movies. It's timeless. You know, even though we filmed it in the beginning of the 2000s, it still resonates. It was such a fun character, Elder Calhoun. He was so sweet and innocent and endearing and naive. Just a load of fun. And then the guys on that I'm still friends with today and close friends with them. What a great group of people. Yeah, hands down, Best 2 Years is so fun. So I am an actor. I graduated, I don't know if we can say this on this podcast, but I'm a Ute. I went to the University of Utah, but mostly just to get a degree. I have a degree in economics, and I was pursuing music full time. I thought I was going to be a musician. And after I got married, my dad said, "You can't support a family with an entertainment degree." And so you need to get some business type thing. So I went from getting straight A's in the music program to passing in economics. And it was just, let's just get this done, get a degree and get out. And then I was for a few years in finance and banking. And then I was pursuing the band at the same time. And then I thought, I hate forcing people to buy life insurance. They want it for free. They don't understand how important it is, and they think it's like an investment type thing, which it can be, but it's really a life insurance policy for when you die.
Right.
So I was tired of that, and I had the opportunity to do a play in Park City where they needed a guy who could play a guitar and perform. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ryan Shoup. Mm-hmm. He passed on it.
Wow.
And he and I are friends, and he said, "Hey, are you interested in doing this?" And I said, "Sure." And he goes, "Great, I'll pass your name on to them." So I did that. From that, I got an agent here in Utah. Then I started filming a bunch of things. I kind of gave up music because that took full time doing the acting. I had to quit my financial job, which was so stable and so great. My wife and I had decided that once we had kids, we wanted her to stay home. So we went from a two-income family, me in finance. She was in insurance. And to me, quitting my job, and you don't make a lot of money in the beginning on independent films. So we had our son, and I was making hardly anything. So it was a hard couple of years, but it was amazing because it was then that we filmed the RM, Singles Ward, Best 2 Years, Sons of Provo, all the best classic movies, Saints and Soldiers. And then from there, I moved to Los Angeles, where I've lived for the past 16 years. I've had an amazing career, done dozens and dozens of commercials and more films, and then I've done hundreds and hundreds of audiobooks. So that's me in a nutshell.
You guys, there it is.
Open it up. Is this over now? Are we done?
So, you know, during that time when, you know, the RM and Singles Ward and those, like, that was sort of a boom in your career that kind of got some momentum for you, would you say?
And absolutely.
And how does that compare to as far as now? Because now there's still somewhat of a Latter-day Saint-focused genre of films, but it's different, it seems like, at least for me, from my perspective.
Right. You have to be friends with T.C. Christensen
right.
to be in an LDS film, which I am.
Nice, good.
I love T.C. If you look at some of the great directors of photography who are also directors, cinematographer/director, that went through BYU, they all can trace back to TC and everything that they learned, his patience, his attention to detail, his love for film and love for just human beings. You see that in like Ryan Little, he's a director, cinematographer. I forget his name. He's the DP for Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox. Everybody can trace back to TC. TC, I think, is the LDS version of, you know, what's that game? 5 degrees of separation.
Of Kevin Bacon.
Nice. So I forget your question.
So just for, like, as far as the industry now as opposed to then when you got going.
I think my last LDS film was really Sons of Provo. And that was, I don't know, 16, 17 years ago. I thought that having all of those independent films, and especially Saints and Soldiers, that won a lot of Independent Spirit, it won an Independent Spirit Award. It was nominated for a lot of awards, which is, it was amazing. I thought that from that, it would be easy for me to segue into more Hollywood productions. All it really did was get me an agent and manager, and then you kind of just start at the bottom, and it was... You audition. I was fortunate to be on a sitcom. There was only 6 episodes made. It was on Fox. But that was amazing. And then I fell into these commercials and did a couple of more independent films. And then from a commercial that I did with the Farrelly brothers, they called me up after shooting the commercial, and Pete Farrelly, are you familiar with him? He did like There's Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber. So huge fan of that just dumb humor. And I, after doing a commercial, I got a call from Pete Farrelly, who said, hey Kirby, this is Pete. And I was like, hey Pete, hey, why are you calling me? This is awesome. And he said, you like the Three Stooges? I said, yeah, I love the Stooges. And he goes, I think you'd be great as one of the Stooges. And I go, well, yeah. And he goes, how's your Larry impersonation? I go, great. So I went, and I'm meeting with the Fox executives and going through the whole auditions and everything. And I met with a professional Larry impersonator.
Oh wow.
That the studio paid for and stuff, and it was down to me and James Marsden. And the studio wanted Sean Hayes, so I didn't get it. So I thought, oh, this journey has ended. My dream of being in a film with Pete Farrelly, Bobby and Pete Farrelly. But then a couple days later, Pete called me up and he said, hey Kirby, sorry we had to go, you know, how studios work, and you know, Sean has this name, and he said, but would you still want to be in the film? I said, yeah. And so I got to be in the film. There's the Three Stooges, and I play like their best friend, and so it was still awesome. My wife bucket and list, that was Sofia Vergara from Modern Family, just gorgeous. She plots to kill me, and she hires the Stooges to kill me for my money and stuff. It was an amazing experience. And then along the way, I landed audiobooks. Yeah, so coming back, I haven't... The LDS genre is still alive and well, and I think the best stuff being done right now is what TC is doing. But I think it's the way theaters have changed so much too now, you know, and especially with theaters closing because of a pandemic, it's kind of hard to kind of catch that lightning in a bottle that Singles Ward and RM and the best 2 years caught theatrically.
Right.
And I don't know if there's really a streaming service that's specific for LDS movies, where they can, you know, put their content on. I know The Living Scriptures has kind of a subscription thing, but I don't know if a lot of people know about that. But I think that's where it needs to go, is that it's all streaming now. And I don't know if there can be like a thing with Netflix or some other streamer that can have this content. But I don't know. I don't know where... Well, do you guys go to the theaters?
Well, that's what I was just going to say is that we actually had TC on the show last week. And
what?
We did. We had him on the podcast last week. It was great. He's an amazing man.
He is.
He was just so humble and down to earth. But he said the same thing, that he's itching to make a film right now, and with the theaters being closed, it really is hurting that. And talked about streaming and that as well. And so maybe talk a little bit about being there's kind of a, I don't know if a stigma is the right word, but you see entertainers and Hollywood don't always mix. Mm-hmm. How do you be an entertainer in Hollywood and also be a member of the church?
I think it's the same with how do you be a part of the BYU Management Society and be a good member, or a life insurance salesman or a doctor. You just have to make the choice. You either are all in or you're not. You can't be halfway in. And so I think once you make the decision, it's easy. It's just when you start to, I don't know, you do have to give up a part of yourself if you want to reach a certain level. And I guess I wasn't willing, and still I'm not willing to give up that part. Not that you're selling your soul, but it is. You have to give up your family. You have to be networking. You have to really give yourself over to it. And I think it's the same with sports, too. If you look at successful quarterbacks or whatever, they are MVPs because they're willing to work out and push their body 363 days of the year, where they just take Christmas and Thanksgiving off. I'm not willing to do that, but that's why they are there. And I think that's the same thing with acting and being in the industry. I love being a blue-collar worker. I was really fortunate to be at the beginning of Mormon cinema and to kind of establish myself. But I love being just a blue-collar actor. You know, I get my health insurance, I have a pension, and I don't have to really sell myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't have to give up a part of myself. I'm happy with where I'm at.
Yeah. And that's kind of leads into my next question. You feel like you've kind of found a sweet spot then in your career, that, I mean, you're doing these different things. And out of those things, what gets you most excited, or what projects are you looking forward to?
I think being an entertainer, you have to have not just many irons in the fire. You have to have many irons in many fires. So I do improv with different groups. So I travel around the country doing improv. I write music. I narrate audiobooks. I do TV commercials and film. So to be honest, my favorite one is whichever one is paying the bills this week.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And what's great is now I've segued into working with BYU TV. Probably the best thing I've ever been a part of. It's called Making Good. We're working on our third season now, but it's been kind of difficult with COVID restrictions. We've shot two episodes for season three, but I go around the country and I find people, nonprofit organizations that are making a difference in the world in a unique way, where I join up with them and I get in over my head physically and mentally, and then figure out really what their organization is about. And you can watch the first two seasons now on the BYU TV app or byutv.org/makinggood. And honestly, it's the best thing. I get to do all of it. I'm improvising. I write a song every episode for the organization. And I'm doing service. And I'm seeing people doing good.
Yeah.
It's so great. I cry every episode. I try not to, but it's just so touching to see the change that these organizations are making in these people's lives, and also in the volunteers' lives, and also in the person who came up with the organization. It's all very beautiful and spiritual. And I think we've had maybe out of the 20 episodes that we've shot for the two seasons, maybe just one of them was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Maybe two. Yeah. I think sometimes we as members feel like we have a monopoly on doing good and being the ones that are service oriented, but there are so many amazing people that are out there doing good, and it's great. I love the feeling of it.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my kids all the time. My son is actually on a mission right now. And
where's he at?
He's in Nashville on his way to Buenos Aires.
So did he make it to Buenos Aires?
Or? He's hoping to make it sometime in his mission.
I read a thing today that said the church just announced they're slowly.
Yes, I saw that.
Getting them out.
Yeah.
My son was in El Salvador.
Oh.
He's now in Pennsylvania.
Oh, is that right?
And he may not be able to go back to El Salvador. He might finish before.
So he was in part of all the hoopla last night of the who's going to win Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he was. Probably. Anyway, sorry, you were saying.
No, I was just going to ask you a silly question. Just wondering a two-part question. First of all, what's your favorite calling you've had? And second of all, we're living in kind of a rough time right now from a world standpoint. What can you say that can give people hope? And what are your thoughts on how to really improve moral and ethical leadership around the world?
My favorite calling, hands down, was primary chorister. and I guess right before that, I was cup master for a long time. And it's just a party every week.
Yeah.
I loved it. And it was so fun, especially being chorister. I brought my banjo. I love music, and I thought that's what I was going to do for a living. And kids are so forgiving. And I like to when I'm teaching the kids, I'm humorous for the adults in the room too. So I just kind of play innocent, but the adults are laughing really hard. So it's like every week I was just doing a show. And then I'd get the kids to come up. You know, we did Nephi's Courage, and I did it on the banjo. I had kids with tambourines and cajones playing drums and stuff, and the piano and the xylophone. And it was just, it was amazing.
Wow.
It was so awesome.
That's awesome.
And as far as, I think I love it. President Hinckley said, you got to choose to be happy. He probably didn't say gotta. It's probably a lot more eloquent than that. But it stuck with me that... Yeah, you can be sad and blue, but then you just got to get over it. You have to choose to be happy. And he goes on to say that a grateful person is a happy person. If you're ungrateful, then you're not going to be happy. I don't know an ungrateful person who's happy. I do know some grateful people who have some bad days, but for the most part, they're happy, and you can feel that. You just have to make a decision. I think it's just like the question you asked earlier, how do you stay a member of the church and then be a part of as much of the world as Hollywood is? That's Sodom and Gomorrah,
yeah.
You know? You just make a choice. You're either all in or you're not. And the best way to do that is to, I think, be grateful. And I think that's why I've been blessed throughout my career, that I continue to narrate audiobooks and do more commercials and do more film that, it keeps coming my way, I think, because I'm grateful and I'm happy with where I'm at. Hmm. We're trying to teach our kids that don't wait until you get your braces off to be happy. Be happy now. I think that's what you can do.
Yeah.
It's a horrible time, you know? It's so sad. And you can't be with people. You can't hug your grandparents. But there are so many things that we can be grateful for. And if you're grateful, I think you're happy.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And has that perspective helped carry you through this, you know, this pandemic time where your industry's been hit on multiple fronts?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Anything that comes my way. I realize, so I have an isolation booth at my home to do voiceover work. And I narrate every single day unless I'm off filming. And so I really have been living a quarantined life for the past 16 years.
You literally have an isolation
booth. I have an isolation booth. So unless I'm out filming, I am for 6 to 8 hours a day in this isolation booth with a little window just reading books. So for me, luckily, my job didn't change at all. I just stayed at home and kept reading. There's always books that need to be narrated, and so fun. I love church history. I love the church, just period. I've been blessed with faith, and I've got to meet a lot of leaders in the church, and they're amazing. But the thing that I love the most is church history. So I got to narrate the saints.
Oh, great.
Yeah. History of the church. I'm volume 2 and hopefully subsequent volumes. But man, so awesome. They gave me the hard stuff. They gave me the start and end of polygamy, Mountain Meadows Massacre, like all the hard stuff.
Wow.
But it's great. Have you guys?
I've read it, yeah.
Well, you should listen to it.
Okay. Right. It was my own voice in my head.
It was maybe. Your own voice, yeah. What was great is that the guy from the church history department who contacted me, he said, because I've done so many audiobooks, I've won a lot of awards, I'm recognized nationally as a narrator. He said, I love so many of your audiobooks, and what we want to do, because it's an eighth grade writing level. And that's my genre, really, is middle grade books. I read, I do the Brandon Mole Dragon Watch,
and
a lot of those kind of middle grade fun books. And he said, what we want from you is to do what you do on these other books, which is if somebody has an accent, add an accent. So like for George Q. Cannon, he's from Liverpool, so I do a very light Liverpudlian accent, and it's just awesome. And then it's just so great looking them up and studying, okay, what part of England is this guy from, and what part of Tonga is this guy from, and it's just so fun getting, I already loved church history, but to be able to immerse myself into the world completely, I loved it. It's so great.
We took our kids on a last year church history trip. We rented a motorhome, went back east, and my son, who was 14, had read Saints, and he was the only one in our whole ward who'd read the book.
And, oh, that's great!
And so everywhere we went, you know, all the questions from all the missionaries were all about this and that, and you know, Tambora, and he knew all the answers.
He'd
and
raise like, his hand.
Holy cow! How do you know them all? So,
but, and then you're telling them he has a good dad. It
has nothing to do with me. Well, Kirby, we sure appreciate you. You're awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here today.
And yeah, this is great what you're doing, and such an amazing thing to be a part of.
Yeah, we need an isolation booth, I think.
I think we do.
People.
And thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Voices of Light. Have a great week.